Economic zone created by the Communist Party of China in the late 70s in order to mix together, okay, the capitalist market-oriented economy with the socialism model, okay, state socialist model controlled by the Communist Party. And Shenzhen is probably the world's single most fastest city-making process. Within 3 decades, a city emerged. There used to be just a few thousand farmers and fishermen, and the villages, in Shenzhen. But within 30 years, it grew into a megalopoly of 12 million people. Okay, all this started in the late 70s. And now Shenzhen has become home to, we already mentioned some of these companies, Foxconn, the world's largest electronic manufacturer, making iPhones as well as many of the Android phones and computers that are being sold in laptop computers being sold in Latin America, but also ZTE and Huawei. Okay, these are the big telecom equipment makers. And I think Huawei last year in 2018 was the number one corporation in the world in terms of the patent, okay, intellectual property right it generated in that one company. So it is fast rising. All these companies are based in Shenzhen, as well as Tencent. Okay, it's China's one of the China's two or three most important platform capitalism companies. Tencent owns WeChat, the most popular social media in China. But also Tencent invests in all kinds of sharing economy platforms and news online news video business. And in Shenzhen, we also have BGI. Okay, it's the world's largest DNA sequencing. I'll say so. Biotech companies is also there. And for more than 15 years, I've been working in Shenzhen to understand its growth, and many of the stories, it's a combination of what I said, is the Western style, financialized neoliberal, developments, which happens in the very center of the city center of CBD of Shenzhen. But then outside Shenzhen, we see feudal or semi-feudal developments, so different temporalities were mixing together. Actually, 3 days ago, I was teaching a PhD theory class, and we were discussing the classic book by Garcia Canclini from Latin America from the 1980s. And before this point, we were actually talking about European, Helling and Mancini, the Comparing Media Systems book. And my PhD students, some of them were from Shenzhen, were saying, the Helling and Mancini book is too far away to be applied to the Chinese context. But actually, they saw this kind of, when Garcia Canclini talked about multiple temporalities, and also the different, classes, of the cultured, the popular, and the massive, the indigenous, traditional, all these different temporalities, And actually, my Chinese student were saying, this seems to be something very close to what we have. So in China, and especially in Shenzhen, where there's multiple temporalities exist. So that's a very interesting thing I did not expect until my class with my PhD students 3 days ago. But one of the things we studied in Shenzhen in recent years is about DD taxi drivers. DD is the Chinese version of Uber. Actually, DD outcompeted Uber and acquired Uber China and including all its data. Okay, so it's massive. Okay, but then Shenzhen is also one of the first places where drivers staged large-scale protest against the platform. So the in part of this reason is because Shenzhen being a special economic zone, the taxi drivers and including the DD drivers from the 1980s, when Shenzhen just started, they already had a long tradition of resistance and solidarity building using new technologies of the time. So in the early time was the walkie-talkies, but now it's mobile phone and other kind of interpersonal social media networks. So Shenzhen is not only a paradise for digital capitalism, it's also a hotbed for worker activism. And Techno, T-E-C-N-O, this is the largest smartphone brand in Africa. But actually, Techno is also from Shenzhen. My PhD student, Lu Miao, is working on this company now. She is actually in the process of planning her trip to go to Ghana to study Techno there. But she already did several months of internship in Shenzhen, working in one of the Techno offices. And very interestingly, okay, Techno, I would say from the very beginning, it looks like the kind of digital rice paddy practices. So low-end, grassroots-oriented, not very much chasing the big financial quick return in the Silicon Valley model. But Techno actually came out from what we call the township and the village enterprise tradition of the 1980s. Okay, the TVEs, okay, when the Communist Party tried to modernize China before Tiananmen, before 1989, they were trying to foster domestic industries so that farmers can start small-scale factories in the countryside without leaving their hometown, so that you don't have the large scale of shanty town, slums in the city. People can live close to their home, and so there's grassroots democracy involved. And that company, actually, one of the companies, actually became a successful pager maker in the 1990s, and later it became one of the first three most successful domestic mobile phone brands. It's called Bodao, B-O-D-A-O. And Bodao was actually a precursor, from what we understand, as the for today's Techno. Okay, that it grow become bigger, bigger, and especially in East and West Africa. I was in South Africa a few months ago, and Techno was not very dominant there. But from what we read and my student Lu Miao's interviews, there are more dominance in East and West Africa, and the brand name is already very well built. Okay, in African countries. It's low cost phones. Okay, it could the production cost for a smartphone from Techno could be as low as I would say $20 or even less. Okay, that's the production cost, and I would say $15 to $20 U.S. dollars. So it's low cost, but it has all the full functions of normal. A high-end smartphone, especially one of the killer app is that their mobile phone cameras are optimized for black African faces. So rather than using Caucasian or Asian faces to train their algorithm, they were actually the first to successfully use black African faces to train their cameras, so that it can do better selfies. Okay, I would say this is an anti-colonial algorithm being pioneered by this Shenzhen-based company. So indeed, this I want to echo what I just said. The China model is still complex. It's still internally contradictory. While some of the Chinese companies just want to go high end, there are companies like Techno who want to localize their services and prioritize the local market needs, such as black African needs, even more than the high end needs. So I think there are still potential for some of the low-end companies in China to develop into anti-colonial forces in the digital labor area. The third question, I probably need to go